Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, at least I got to place a comma at Friday night magic and kick everybody's butt with it, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good tonight. How are you?
I'm amazing, dude. I got to tell you, we got to get right into it. We're pressed for time tonight, so let's go right into it. But before we get started, we do not want to forget that this show and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys, with their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge and very nicely upgraded, I might say. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York and Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is 100% the best place to go in gaming. Now, they have a wonderful website. Hey, Johnny Couturier, how are we, dude? They have a great website. You can find it at KGS, that is Kite Go Samuel Online.com. Don't forget, you can get 5% off any online order there when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. As well as, we want to take a second to recognize our rare and above level patrons. We've got Steve, Spencer, Chibatank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and my personal favorite name in the world, Dragon D's Nuts. As well as our new, we have our mythic rare patrons, Ian and Johnny, and our brand new one. He also emailed us. I got to find that message. Jonathan Freeman and Jake, all our mythic level. And, Jake is our regular mythic level. And we want to thank our producer level patron. That would be Jamie. And that is, thank you very much, sir. We could not do this show without any of you. We really appreciate all of you guys. So here's the thing. We've got a programming note tonight. Tonight is Commander Craft. It's a Wednesday. We're pulling the curtain back. Hopefully I get this episode out either tonight or tomorrow while I'm up at camp. But what we've got going on is this. Due to some technical difficulties we had this week, we could not record our episode Monday. So we're doing the show tonight. And then immediately following that, hang around. I'm gonna shut down the stream for literally 5 to 10 minutes, run upstairs, start it all back up, and we're gonna play Commander Craft tonight. We're gonna get one round in. We've got Nick and Jake playing with us tonight. So we have an awesome, awesome week going on. So Aramis, how the hell are you, sir? And I'm untapping water tonight.
We're doing the old baseball doubleheader.
Basically, and my beard is awesome. Thank you, Dragon D's Nuts. Yes, it is. We had a week, though, dude. I got to tell you, it's Saturday. I had computer issues. We didn't do the Patreon call. Basically, that call has been rescheduled, guys, for a week from Saturday. So what basically happened was my computer died. And I was, like, hip deep in restore and fixing my firmware. I updated the firmware on my hard drive, so I took a nice backup of it. It was supposed to be very quick, and everything was supposed to go back, and it didn't. Like, the firmware actually pooched the hard drive. So I had to, like, scramble to find another SSD, start doing a partial restore while I worked on... Oh, it was a nightmare. So we will be having the Patreon call a week from Saturday, so the 24th. It will be at 6 p.m. Eastern again, so please try to make it. Aramis, what'd you do this weekend? Anything fun? Or
Enjoyed some time with the fam. Did some work around the house. Just a typical summer weekend. Try to get the stuff in while you can before the weather turns crappy again.
Right. This is, yeah, no kidding. It's going to be rainy all weekend, and we're going camping. I say camping, it's glamping, let's be honest. It's a nice cabin. They have a refrigerator. We have our own bathroom. We have to walk to it. It's like an outhouse, but it has, like, plumbing in it and a shower. But it's incredibly awesome. I'm very excited for it. So we've got a wonderful show tonight. That was our upkeep, or our untap, our upkeep portion. So what we got tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Friday Night Magic, go through what we played and stuff, just because we're really excited for everything to be back. We'll do our pre-release primer. where we kind of talk about cards that are really, really that you want to look for and how to prepare for your pre-release for Friday. Something that neither Aramis nor I can participate in because of family obligations. And then No Combat, Main 2, we're going to talk about State of Standard, mainly focusing on Standard 2022. There's been movement there. And yes, there is in fact a ban to bring to your attention. There has been a ban. So this is exciting. Let's go ahead and get right into the main phase.
Main phase.
Okay, main phase. So, we're going to talk a little bit. Yes, Nick is saying it right in the chat. Wait a second. Friday Night Magic is back. Yes, yes it is. Friday Night Magic came back a couple of weeks ago, Nick. Aramis went 2 weeks ago. I went last Friday. We played Commander, which I got to be honest, I think I'm going to do from now on. I don't think I'm going back to Standard. And I know that makes Josh sad. Josh was like trying to get both of you. He's like, you don't have Standard decks? We're like, no. Like, we were home for so long and we played Commander over Spell Table. We have Commander decks now. So, Nick, we'll talk. If you're still at Glenmont, nothing says you can't get a quote-unquote private ride. And, you are on the way. So, we'll talk offline. But, yeah. So, Aramis, what did you think after your second go-round?
Look, it's still, like I said last time, it's just great to be playing in person.
Yes.
I had another fantastic time. I think...
You went 2-0 again.
I went 2-0 again,
you switched your deck, you son of a bitch.
Well, yeah, I wanted to have a little bit of variety. I brought four, so I wanted to get a little bit of reps in on each, so...
Yeah, I don't blame you there. Plus, I mean, you can't place a comma for another couple weeks, so...
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun, like last week. Picked up a couple of random Modern Horizons boosters, got myself a Ragavan. I was very happy about that.
Nice.
It's never a bad day when you open an $80 card.
Yeah, I got a few Modern Horizon boosters too. I even got one today, and I've got a third Blighted Woodland. So I'm like, oh shit, I almost have a playset of Fetchlands. Oh! So that's two Arid Mesas and a Blighted Footland. I feel Floodland or whatever it is. But yeah, I feel pretty good about that. I loved it. I had such a great time. Dragon, where are you? I loved it. I played Omnath both games. I had Kalamax ready to go, but when I won with Omnath game one, I was like, and then you sat down, I'm like, you know what? He's probably going to play Zakama. I might as well. Let's see what happens. And I really had a blast sitting playing with you. I mean, they had two flights or two tables again. So, I was at one of the tables. I played a storm deck that was really good, but we shut it down. Like the table basically, Yeah. You got a bit of a hollow dragon. We were playing that deck and he started to go off turn four and pretty much, and I had this talk with Ian, and it was on the stream from last week, because he was kind of a little frustrated at all the politicking and stuff. We're like, no, dude, that happens. Like, we literally sat there, we're like, okay, Archenemy on the storm deck? Is this what we're thinking? And everybody's like, yeah. And I'm sitting there going, that's fine with me. And then Omnath went off at, like, turn, like, 7 or 8. I was, I had it locked. And it was a really good time. There was an equipment deck, and I forget what the other deck was. But then game two, what did you play game one?
Game one, I played Asika. I played against a deck that was, what was the commander for that other deck? It was a Golos deck, but it was more of a like Greek god pantheon styled deck. So there were a lot of Theros gods and enchantment creatures and things like that. Another commander was Chatterfang, so it was a squirrel deck, which was always good to see. And also the other commander was the Scarab God. I lucked out because I was able to curve into a Maelstrom Maelstrom Nexus, thank you. Yeah, so I was able to have all my spells gain Cascade for the first spell.
Wait, we have to stop for a second. For once, I got a card name right. Like, I don't think we've had that yet on this show.
Maybe, yeah. You were calling the Fetchland something wrong, but I wasn't going to say anything.
I know. I appreciate you. Was it Blighted Woodland?
Yes, Blighted. Yeah, that's not a Fetchland.
Oh. Well, it was the black and green one.
Oh, that's a Verdant Catacombs.
Yeah, Verdant Catacombs. I got three of those.
Yeah, so I had Maelstrom Nexus turn five. Turn six, I had Prismatic Bridge. So from there, I was starting to gain value, and just gods were coming down every turn. And it got to the point where at each person's end step, I was milling somebody for 65 or 70 cards.
Jesus!
So, although I should have, honestly, I should have lost that game because a player attacked me. The Golos player attacked me. He didn't realize that he had enough devotion to attack with his Erebos, and if he had, I would have died.
Oh, dear.
But we didn't realize until, like, a turn and a half later, and we're like, oh, geez. So I ended up winning that next turn, and it sucks because he had pointed out to me earlier in the game that I had forgotten about devotion, and we both missed it the second time. So,
you didn't bring your dice there that you do, like, with Commander Craft?
We did, but it's just, it was like, you know, my brain wasn't working for counting up numbers. And devotion's hard to keep track of anyway.
It was. So. It is. And it's, you know, it's weird that it is like a muscle that we have to, like, re-exercise playing Paper Magic in person again. And, you know, triggers and, you know, upkeep stuff mm-hmm. and cumulatives. And, you know, it's stuff that's even on spell table, it's not the same. Like, sitting there across from somebody else, you're having better conversation, you know, you're looking at people's cards.
Yeah, there's definitely more cards. There's more banter.
Yeah. I had a blast. Game two, we had that dad was there with, like, his mono black deck.
Yeah, his
Sakama
his,
me, and...
Yeah, he was playing Yawgmoth.
Yeah. And then we had the Storm Guy. Mm-hmm. So, that was kind of like... Storm Guy never got close. He actually did...
He wiped the board... He was getting close, though. He had a really good turn, and then you were talking about how my Zakama deck was, and he's like, oh, that's all right, I'm going to kill him next turn. So that scared me, so as soon as I got the chance, I started blowing up his stuff.
And then he blew something up on Yawgmoth, like, Yawgmoth had an answer that was going to help everything out, and he wheeled us all or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he cast Windfall, because the turn before... the Yawgmoth player had wiped the board and drawn a bunch of cards because he played, I think it was Decree of Pain.
Yeah.
And so he had wiped the board and drawn, and he had like 11 or 12 cards in his hand. So, and he had like Reliquary Tower. So his hand was huge. And so the Storm player played a Windfall. And I was like, I like the cards that I have in my hand, but oh well. And I ended up drawing into multiple routes to the infinite mana that Zakama can generate. So, the Yawgmoth player then played an Isochron Scepter with a Withering Boon attached to it, so he could tap it, basically pay three life to counter a creature spell whenever he wanted.
Right. He countered, and I convinced him to counter a Storm. Something.
Yeah, you convinced him to counter the Storm player's Burgi right before my turn, and doing that allowed me to win the game.
That's right. It was my fault. You won.
I was able to go infinite that next turn.
I feel I should get an assist on that.
Well, you tried to stop me because I played the land that allowed me to bounce the commander and go infinite, and you blew it up with a strip mine, but I already had the Teemer Sabertooth in my hand, so I was able to have my backup infinite plan because I was actually expecting that to happen. And I had drawn into it anyway, so it's not like it was a top deck or anything. The Windfall had drawn me into it.
It was just nice to do. I'm hoping to go in 2 weeks. I'm hoping, like, I haven't talked to Wend about it yet, but I'm sure, like, I might be on a 2-week cycle again, or at least once a month. You know,
well, I mean, it's a shorter night than standard. I mean, it's generally
it's
two rounds.
Yeah, yeah. It's the distance, but you know what? I'm not drinking, so it's not like I'm going bar hopping with the fellas. I'm going to play geek magic stuff. So she'll probably let me in 2 weeks because I want to play Commander again. I'm gonna start building some more decks. I've got my eye on one. I can't remember what it is. Let me look it up here.
Wasn't the Sliver deck, was it?
The Sliver deck I'm still, like, going to be doing absolutely at some point. But
that feels like a long-term project.
Huh?
That feels like a long-term project.
It kind of is. It's one of those decks where you just want to make sure that you get it right. So let me see here. What the hell was I going to be? There was a commander I was looking at doing. Shoot, I saw it earlier today.
Can't help you.
Well, you know, it's just one of those.
I have my new commander for tonight.
Oh, what are you playing?
You'll find out in about an hour.
Oh, see, no, man. Come on, you know what I'm probably playing.
Oh, it's not meta or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
It never is.
It was Jimmy played it once on one of the commanders.
Doesn't narrow it down. They play a different commander every week.
Yeah. It was a blue. It was an Esper commander.
The Sen triplets.
Yeah,
that deck is insanely annoying.
I know, that's why I'm thinking about doing it just for
even when I the Esper commander that I picked, I purposely didn't pick Sen triplets because I know how stupid that card is.
Yeah, it's actually what I'm looking at doing is Sen triplets. So, because it's a $4 card.
The rest of the deck is kind of nuts though.
So that's kind of my hope. I'm getting a few other ones. I think tonight I might end up just playing Omnath because I know it's together. If not Kalamax, because I had that almost ready to go, which sucks. I want to play something different, but it's also like we're getting ready to go out of town, blah, blah, blah. I didn't touch cards since Friday. So, that was kind of our Friday night magic. Let's kind of pivot from that, though, because this Friday is pre-release. And if we were both going to be home, I'm assuming we'd both go to pre-release of Kerwins and be involved in that.
I think this is the first pre-release I'm missing since I got back into the game.
Yeah, that wasn't COVID.
That wasn't COVID.
Right. So,
which sucks because it's the first one since COVID.
Yeah, So,
I mean, I'll be going to Kerwin's to pick up a pre-release kit at some point after that. But
yeah, me too. A week from Friday, we'll get our boxes. So we'll probably be able to get our boxes too. So I haven't pre-ordered anything. Like
I didn't either.
Just have, and we can talk about that a little bit, but realize that, I guess with this pre-release primer, let's kind of delve into that a little bit. Your expectations for this set should be tempered. Everything I've read, I'm going to be on Front Street. I've been so busy. I haven't even logged into Arena since they've updated. So I haven't had a chance to play anything from the new set yet. But everything I'm hearing is, I'm hearing some people that are bitching, oh, it's so underpowered, oh, it's not really doing anything. And if you look at standard meta, it's not moving the needle at all.
Well, it's not out in standard yet.
Yeah. Well, again, though, like, this is something, well, no, but there have been events that are using it this week, like this.
Yeah, but those are future standard.
Right. So, well, no, they were doing it with... They had it in there, I guess. I was listening to a few podcasts, and I think somebody was doing an event where it was legal. They were legal. Our Winnabox tournament, I'm thinking it'll be long enough that we might make it legal. I don't know. We have to talk about that. But in any event, set your expectations a little bit. This set is really designed for post-rotation. I mean, it really is. It's a core set, and it's... it looks to be kind of powered like a core set, like old school core sets were, not the last two where they were ridiculously overpowered and you get Ugin or you get this weird other Teferi or whatever and blah blah blah. This one is nice. This is old school core set, so it's kind of meant to be kind of supportive. So for pre-release now, you're playing a sealed event 9 times out of 10. So, John, be on the call. You're not wrong, buddy. I'm thinking that too. Standard 2022, win a box. But I don't know how we'd make it. We'd have to have Deckless and Aramis, and I would have to be in charge of making sure people play right. And if we do that, we're going to ban the one card there. Because there's no land destruction in Standard 2022. And frankly, that's just unfair. It's just set your expectations appropriately. What do you think?
I think the set's a little underrated, actually.
Okay.
I think it's actually a little better than people are letting on. I think it's not, according to Wizards, it's not a core set. It's taking the place of the core set. So it doesn't have the same lowered level of difficulty, I guess you could say, right, as a core set would. It's not as complex as other sets, for sure. But there are definitely a lot of good gems in this set. I think, like you said, after rotation, we'll really see this take off. I know in the limited format, there's a couple of cards already that have really gone above and beyond to be cards that are like, if you see this card, there's no reason to pass it.
Right. We have a list, you know, in the thing. Tasha's Hideous Laughter. Listen, if you open that, you're in your pre-release, you're playing blue. It's the win card. It's a win con. It's a major win con for you. I mean, any way that you can get rid of, you know, any number of cards in a 40-card deck, hell yeah.
One of the cards that I saw that is really taking off, that seems to be pretty close to an auto win, especially if you get it on turn two, is Ranger Class.
Yes, I've heard that too.
That one, I mean, I've played against it. It is very hard to beat. If it's on right. turn two, it is so hard to beat that card.
Yeah, that card, in case you wanted to know, is, let me see here.
It's an enchantment. It's an enchantment.
It's a two drop. But yeah, it's one like of the old school like upgrades. So you have to pay to upgrade it. When it first comes in, create a 2/2 mm-hmm. wolf creature. When you level it up, so turn three, you can level it up. Put a 1/1 counter on attack on target attacking creature.
Whenever you attack.
Right. And then level three is you may look at the top card of your library at any time. You cast creature spells from the top of your library.
Now, the thing about this is, and I wasn't sure how class enchantments worked, they keep all the previous abilities.
Right.
So the attack trigger never goes away once you get it. The third ability never goes away. Obviously, the first one is just an ETB. But if it was one with a static ability, like Paladin Class, spells cast during your opponent's turn costing one more is its first ability. That never goes away, no matter what no matter how many times you level up the enchantment. It's one of those cards that just it can run away with the game very quickly. And the fact that it's a two drop. Makes it very and an enchantment also makes it very hard to interact with, and as long as you've got a creature on the board, it's going to be a threat and you're going to have to deal with it. So I think that's definitely one you want to open. I think if you're red and you get like Meteor Swarm is stupid. It looks kind of cumbersome, but it's actually extremely powerful. I don't know if you have that booted up at all, but if not, it's a sorcery for 3 red and X. And it deals 8 damage divided as you choose among X target creatures and or planeswalkers. I've seen this card played on streams a few times, and it is just an absolute wrecking ball every time it's played. I mean, it's disgusting.
So it's a 3 red and an X. The X is not how much damage it's going to do. The X is how many targets you can hit.
And doing it for 2 or 3, I mean, you're doing, you know, 2 damage, 3 damage, 3 damage, or 4 damage, 3 damage, 2, you know, 1 damage, whatever.
Right.
But it's always basically going to kill 2 to 3 to 4 creatures.
Yep. That's a great
and
card.
For very little mana investment, if you think about it. 7 mana to kill 4 creatures? Okay. Yeah. Or 5 mana to kill 3? All right.
This is definitely worthwhile. So
it's a bomb. It's an absolute bomb. You open that, play red if you can. I mean, triple red means you cannot splash this, but if you open a Meteor Swarm, if you've got any support in red, you're going to jam this, and you are not going to be, you know, regretting that you did that.
And now dungeon cards.
Mm-hmm. Venture seems cute.
You have to open a lot. It is designed kind of for... This is where you would want to play it. You would want to play it in kind of a limited capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
You have to have certain payoffs, I think. If you open like Acerarak, I guess is how you say that.
Right.
The Archlich, that is dependent on you finishing the Tomb of Annihilation. But there's other cards that are, you know, that like you completing dungeons. I think it's a saturation point. You have to have a certain number of dungeon cards in your deck if that's what you want to do. Otherwise, I think it's a cute little extra add-on ability that if you happen to finish a dungeon, great. I haven't seen too many decks that go super crazy with it. If you open the dungeon Planeswalker, the Eliwick Tumblestrum, again, that will be, I think, really good for you if you want to go that route. But I think you have to open the payoff cards in order to really focus on a dungeon theme. But don't discount them, because a little added effect can be pretty good. You know, gain a life here, scry there, get a little extra token creature. You happen to finish a dungeon, maybe you get a nice effect from that. So, you know, it depends on how many you get. I think you have to get like 6 or 7 or 8 cards adventure. Hopefully one that has like an activated ability to do it, and then you can sort of go from there.
And the mana base here now, there's not a really dual lands, correct? So
no.
You're going to want to stay 2 colors or less, if possible. Maybe splash for 1.
Monocolor is hard to do in sealed, so you're probably going to be two colors. If you can pull off monocolor, then you've opened an amazing pool. But don't feel like you're locked into one color just because there's the fixing isn't great. I mean, there is still Evolving Wilds, so it's not like it's non-existent. And I think there's a couple of artifacts that might tap for mana of any color.
Right.
But yeah, you're going to be relying on your basics for this one. So mind your pips when you're splashing colors. Don't go splashing a double pipped card like a blue or a green card in your white black deck. And if that's the only card you have, because you're probably never going to get the two islands that you need.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I found the email, by the way. Jonathan, he's like, since you already have a patron named Jonathan, I got to change it on our doc. He wants to be called Shinjojan.
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 Okay.
Hey, Jake, how are you? So I just wanted to find that so that we're ready. I really believe, too, that I think you could have a lot of fun with pre-release this week with this set.
This is a fun set. It is. Yeah. This is no knocks against the set. Power level-wise, okay, yeah, maybe it's not going to knock your socks off.
But I think this set's going to be great post-rotation.
It's a ton of fun. Well, listen, here's the thing, too. You can pull off the infinite dice roll combo with this if you open the bolt, because both cards are in the set. So if you get the one that allows you to roll multiple dice, and you get the fairy guide, and then you get the red legend there. I forget what her name is, but you can go infinite, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's Splinter Twin. It's exactly what it ends up being. Basically, Splinter Twin.
Dragons are a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. If you open a dragon, again, you're going to marry yourself to a color. Like, realize that if you open a dragon, you know, if you can go monocolored, if you open, say, 2018 to 20 of one color, and you have some artifacts that'll help, or dungeon cards, or play, you know, sure. But, you know.
Well, it's especially the rare or mythic dragons. The uncommon ones are nice. If you're green, you get a dragon. Green doesn't normally get flyers, so yeah, jam that. Absolutely. It's not the best one out there, but it's a green flyer, and it's good rate. I think it's a 4/4 for a 6 that flies or something like that. But
feel free. Okay, here's what I'd love. If you guys do this, okay, in our Discord, discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com, we have a deck list section, and maybe I'll make a second one for pre-release deck lists. Like, let us see what you got, because we'll talk about it next week, because usually the week after pre-release, Aramis and I will come on and be like, hey, what about this? We did this, that, or the other thing. We're not going to be on the air next week. It's my anniversary, and so I'm out of town. And so we're going to be on for Commander Craft Wednesday. But we won't have a show again until a week from Monday. So, you know, and we'll probably talk about our, you know, Commander Friday Night Magic experience. But we'd love to have some deck lists. So in our, you know what? I'm just going to go there now while we're doing the show and make it right now. We'll have an area for pre-release deck lists. And if you play an arena pre-release, if you play a sealed event on arena and you want to throw that in there, hey, sure, why not? We'd just love to see what you guys have. So, but I think that's kind of, you know, look at our other areas, you know, our other shows for, we've talked, every set we do a pre-release primer.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's, you know, something else you could think of, Aramis.
I mean, just, you know, if you're really feeling lazy, you don't want to go back, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, 23-17. You know, 23 non-lands, 17 lands, about 15 creatures-ish, 15 to 18 creatures, 5 to 8 spells, somewhere in that range, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on what you open. You want to have removal. You want to have creatures with evasion. If you get a bomb, great. If you have some fixing, try to use it if you're multiple colors. Don't get too blown away by your rares if your colors don't support it. Because that can happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be possible to splash them. But, you know, just be mindful of what you open. Play your good cards. That's really
play
what it is.
If you go
five color treasure, which is, I guess, is a thing, you can go five color treasure, do it.
Go to town. We'll
have
laugh
fun.
At you. If you could pull it off, though, we won't laugh at you if we pull it off.
Just have fun. It's not a serious thing.
This is definitely not a try hard event. Like, you know, this is definitely like going in.
Bring dice.
Having a good oh yes, bring a D20. Do we know if the pre-release kits have a real D20 or not?
I don't know if it's a real D20. I think from what I've seen, you get the dungeons in foil, which is cool.
Ooh, okay.
So I'll be looking forward to that.
If that is instead of a real
no, it's not. It's not. Okay. It's not instead of the promo card.
I've been like, fuck you.
I think it's in addition. So I could be wrong. I know. I saw one person that did that. I think on Reddit. I don't know if that's the normal thing. But if it is, that's a nice touch.
Absolutely. So, you know, let us know what you do. Yeah, like I said, I just created the deck list in Discord. So we'd love to see what you guys come up with this week. So especially because we have to live vicariously through you now. So, you know, go out there, my children, and multiply.
Or at least add.
Yeah, exactly.
Never subtract.
All right, let's go to combat.
Combat phase.
I'm the best ever, and you can't argue with me. Going back to main.
Main phase.
You're not even laughing.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Did you say something? I thought I heard
not
a buzzing.
Not at all.
Okay.
So
just checking.
All right, main two. So here's the thing. This is where we usually talk about the state of standard. Well, standard hasn't really changed. We're still pre-rotation officially in paper. It did come out on Arena, Forgotten Realms, and. But it's not really moving the needle. There were a few events that had it in it over the weekend, last weekend. I think there's a few leagues and stuff. And, you know, some people are trying to jam them in. But here's the thing, folks. Ikoria and Eldraine they're Ikoria and Eldraine people.
Yeah, they're going to dominate until they rotate.
We've said it many, many times for the past couple of weeks that we've talked about this, is that, you know, when we talk about how cards are going to impact standard, we meant post-rotation.
Yeah, because it's a pretty hard bar to clear.
Yeah. You know, so just keep that in mind. I mean, Werewolf Pet, I mean, Mono Green has kind of made a jump in standard because of things like Werewolf Pack Leader and... that sort of stuff. Like, just what it needed, another big, dumb creature. and Ranger Class, you were talking about that, too.
Yeah.
And Lair of the Hydra, which is really, really legit. Like, that's a pretty good...
There's some good cards in the set, but it's, you know, we're going to have to wait until the fall to really see what's happening. Although, you know, they're having their sort of quasi future 2020 standard event in Arena now or starting soon.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, proved to already be very popular because I guess their little Friday Night Magic, now midweek Magic thing, was a sort of a preview to the new standard. And I guess
it's kicking ass. Everybody's
talking
about it.
People are so tired of this standard that they're just frothing at the bit.
Johnny says it right there. He's like, I'm not queuing for standard. I mean, the problem is it's BO1. And the problem is it doesn't have Innistrad. So it's only four sets. It's only, you know, the last four sets. Without Innistrad. Now, here's the thing. Innistrad is probably going to come in with some sort of land destruction. I'm trying to bounty something or whatever.
We'll see.
Like, I forget what the card is. But there was some pretty good land destruction in the last couple iterations of Innistrad.
Maybe they put Ghost Quarter back in.
Huh?
Maybe they put Ghost Quarter
back. That's what I'm
saying.
Ghost Quarter. Sorry. There's very real talk of Ghost Quarter. That it fits the set. It's been used many times. And it's necessary because we've already got a stupid, stupid, dumb combo that is ridiculous. So much so that it actually causes them to put a ban out today. That's starting Friday. It's the Book of Exalted Deeds and Faceless Haven. Now,
yes.
If you don't remember what Book of Exalted Deeds does... that's an artifact, and I think we kind of talked about it a little bit.
I don't think we did.
excuse me. Here. Yeah, the Book of Exalted Deeds is being banned because Standard 2022 is best of one.
Yes.
So Exalted Deeds is it's a pretty ridiculous card. It's at the beginning of your end step. If you gained three or more life this turn, create a 3/3 white angel token. Whatever. Pfft. Fine. What's the big thing? Oh, it's a 3/3. It's a 3 white artifact. So
yeah, it's a legendary artifact.
Yep. You could do 3 white pips, exile the Book of Exalted Deeds. put it in the light encounter on target Angel. It gains, you can't lose the game and your opponents can't win the game. Activate only as a sorcery. Sounds simple. Sounds nice. Oh, what a great little card. We've seen this type of thing before.
Yep.
Sarah Angel, or what was it?
Platinum Angel. Yeah. Platinum Angel, yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Problem is, Faceless Haven. For those of you that don't remember, Faceless Haven is a land that came out in Kaldheim. And it reads, for 3 snow, you can make it a 4/3 creature with vigilance and the big kicker, all creature types.
It has changeling.
So it's an angel as well. So you Faceless Haven, you pay 3 more white, and you exile it, put an enlightened counter on Faceless Haven, and end your turn. It becomes a land again. The counter stays on it.
Yep.
You now have an enlightened counter on Faceless Haven, a land, and really the only deck destruction in standard, regular standard, would be Field of Ruin. However, in standard 2022, nothing.
Yeah, I think the only card right now that I can think of, there's 2 cards that could actually deal with the Haven as a land. And one is a land itself. It's the red land from Kaldheim. You have to do a red-green activation to destroy it. And there's also Waking the Trolls, the saga from Kaldheim, but that's 6 mana.
Yeah. So it's almost an automatic win con. And because it's BO1, you can't sideboard. So
nobody runs Artifact Destruction in the main.
So they put
the kibosh on that.
Yeah, they put out a ban announcement today.
And the funny thing is, when they were talking about it, they're like, it's not that it's winning a lot of games, it's just annoying.
And which is horseshit, because it's winning a ton of games. Everybody who's playing this is like, I have an 80% win rate. I've got a... One guy was like, I have a 90% win rate. I'm like, holy... But it makes sense. It's not that power. It's... Okay, so I need 6 mana. I need 3 white and 3 snow.
3 snow, yeah. So obviously you're playing, mono snow-covered plains.
Yeah, Lethal Form Blight, yes. But that stops it from becoming a creature, but it doesn't stop it once it gets the Enlightened. And what was happening is, and it was memeing all weekend, people are like, this is ridiculous. This guy is down 1,227. He's at -1,227, and I lost. Like, there's a part of me that's like, it's fucking funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
I gotta laugh at that a little bit. Like, just the sheer... But, well, I don't think WotC expected... Sometimes I don't think WotC has... I'm responding to Captain Jake here. I don't think WotC... He said... I should say this for the audio. He said, good job testing WotC. Here's the thing. I don't think WotC expected Standard 2022... to be the oasis that it's become. I think they think to themselves that everybody's perfectly happy playing standard right now with Edgewallian Keeper and, the Giant and Embercleave and yada, 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 and Yorian. They're like, oh, everybody's fine. They're having a blast. And so they make this little event, Standard 2022, and it's just like Johnny said above, nobody's playing standard. I can't imagine it. Like, right. Why would you? I would rather play Standard 2022. Sure, I don't get to sideboard. But holy cow, I'd much rather play this. I'm so tired of Eldritch.
I will say this. I don't. If this event was best of 3, I don't think they banned this combo.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because, it would mean having to dedicate some slots in your sideboard.
Yeah,
but I think most... Yeah, most decks, I think, would have some kind of access to some kind of answer to this, whether it's Artifact Destruction, Land Destruction, Creature Removal, countering it. There's ways to get around it if you're able to sideboard for
artifact
it.
Artifact Destruction isn't going to work. It's a snowland.
No, I'm talking about destroying the book before they have a chance to blow it up.
Right. Well, that's just it. You either have to be able to deal with the book. You either have to be able to counter the book. You have to destroy the book before they can blow it. It's still a pretty narrow needle to thread.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, blue can counter it. Artifacts can... You got the artifact lithoform that can kind of mess with it. But for the most part, it's pretty ridiculous. So nobody should be forced to play certain colors that they don't want to play.
No, yeah, so, absolutely not. But I think that if this event was best of three and sideboarding was an option, the mirror match especially would still be a slogfest. It'd basically be a staring contest who concedes first, because that's the only way the game ends at that point. But I feel like it's not degenerate to the point where, you know, I think people would have a chance. And they even mentioned that, you know, just because they're banning it here doesn't mean that when rotation happens that this is going to get banned. It's just right now this interaction isn't healthy. But again, it bears watching.
Yeah, Johnny, we've talked about that too. Yes, we are aware because they did a standard event this week, Esports Standard 2022. Like, here's the thing, guys. This set is like Kaldheim, is like Strixhaven. It cannot stand up to Eldraine. It can't. It just can't. It can't stand to Eldraine or Ikoria. The companion mechanic is still too damn powerful, which I never thought.
Well, hey,
I'd
here you
say.
Go. Yeah. Here's an answer. If the Book of Exalted Deeds becomes too powerful, don't ban that. Unban Oko. That deals with it.
Yeah, it does deal with it. And I don't think it's going to be banned either. I think we're right. I think we're going to see Ghost Quarter come back.
There's going to be an answer.
Because Field of Ruin's rotating. They'll either do that or print Field of Ruin again. Like,
and if not,
they
cards are locked in at this point for the next set.
So and that's just it. Them saying the thing that they're not going to ban this in regular means they're aware of the problem.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah, so that's kind of. That's kind of happening though. When I log in and when I get all my Forgotten Realm cards, when I get back from vacation, I'll play this event. I mean, if it's still going, and I imagine it will. I'd like to see it go up until rotation. They'd be stupid not to, And I think they had to respond to this too because they are concerned about post rotation. They're concerned that. With Eldraine out of standard and all this, are people going to be interested to play standard? What I don't think they realize, again, that they miss is that people are fucking tired of Eldraine. I personally am starting to really believe that all sets should be on a 6-set rotation schedule. Instead of every year banning 4, so you have every set has a 6-set cycle. So Eldraine would have rotated out with Kaldheim. So we have a rotation at every set. It completely refreshes standard every new set. Like, I almost would love to see that. I think that's a more fair way than, Eldraine sticking around for 2 years, and Zendikar is sticking around for 2 years, which I'm okay with, but that means Ruinscrap. Instead, if you go every 6, it really kind of, it keeps it fresh,
Yeah, the Jake's one problem right. is that with a faster rotation, it means, more having to keep up and more having to, try to keep up with the Joneses, as it were. So, I don't know. I mean, the formats are getting solved faster, so maybe a faster rotation is the answer. I'm just not sure what the schedule would look like. That would be the best solution.
That's why I think a year and a half. 6 is a year and a half, really.
Yeah.
Well, but 6 months also means core sets would stick around a year and a half. It would also mean, like, Ikoria would have stick around till this rotation. Like, imagine Ikoria without Eldraine. Then all of a sudden the cards and it kind of lets you play more of your cards. Like, Eldraine took so many slots in every standard deck that... I feel bad for Theros and Ikoria, these sets that didn't get really a whole lot of juice because what the fuck could you do against an Embercleave?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, again, imagine if they didn't ban anything, how crazy things would be.
Yeah. A Lovestruck Beast.
That should be the final event for rotation, is to say, everything's legal, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I know, but
right before rotation, so with Forgotten Realms legal, just to see... how degenerate the food deck actually could have been with a full standard behind it.
So, okay, we're coming up on 7:00, so I do want to talk about, we did have a ban this week. So, there was a banning. It was, Hull Breacher was banned by the Commander Advisory Board. Is that what they are, CAB? Mainly due to wheel effects. And I am 100% behind this band. I hate Hullbreacher. I don't like it. You have it. You've played it.
I don't have it.
Oh, somebody played it against us.
Yeah, not me.
Was it Steve? I think it was Steve.
Steve has one. I think Nick has one.
Yeah. Oh, Nick, yeah. Your car got banned. Okay. But yeah, Hullbreacher's banned immediately. So if you have Hullbreacher in your deck tonight there, Jake, yeah, we actually should talk about that. Like, if a card gets banned while a champion's seated,
he's got to take it out.
Make a change, yeah.
He's got to take it out, yeah.
Yeah, Nick, it's banned in Commander.
Yep, came down.
Jake's got some opinions. This is good. So, all right. So, I'm excited to kind of see it. I think you're going to see more because, okay, you banned Hullbreacher, but Narset's still out there.
Like, they mentioned that.
Yeah.
They talked about that. They talked about Notion Thief. They talked about Narset. And they said the reason they didn't ban them is, for one, Narset's double blue sorcery speed. And Notion Thief, while it is flash, is double pipped and also blue-black. So the number of decks that it could fit in is lower than Hullbreacher, right, which is splashable and flash. And not only stops you people from drawing cards, you just get you don't draw them. You get a ton of resources. Yeah. Yeah. So there are some people in the CEDH community that are like, why bother? Because it doesn't show up that much in CEDH, believe it or not.
It shows up in Commander a lot.
Yeah, but not in the competitive circles.
No, not in
CEDH. Most of them are doing Tainted Pact, Thassa's Oracle nonsense. But they're saying, for casual people, that Hullbreacher just is not fun to play against. But it's like, Opposition Agent ain't that fun either.
I was tempted in my Atraxa deck. If I was going to play it Friday, I was going to do a Thassa Oracle and take it back. I was saving it for that. I was like,
yeah. So I agree with the ban. I think it's a card that you have to have the answer for it right away,
yeah,
or you lose. Right. Because just the amount of resources, especially if it's paired with a wheel. I mean, okay, yeah, 6 mana, I get 21 mana.
Yeah.
Okay. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So, well, on that note, let's go ahead. We have a shorter show tonight because of the double feature. So, unless you got something else on your mind, brother, should we go right to End Step?
Let's go play some cards.
End Step.
Well, we want to remind you, as we're rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in the box, running the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this sewing goods store. We want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel that we do a lot of content on. We stream all sorts of content. I'm thinking about starting a Minecraft server for patrons. I'm going to throw that out there during the Patreon call, where we would stream some Minecraft to it. So look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. All of our content goes there. If you're watching this show on Twitch right now, you're already there. If you're hanging around for CommanderCraft, you're already there. Our handle there, like I said, is Planestalkers podcast. I really need to change that. My personal Twitch is MineCrime73. I tend to Twitch some Minecraft, DCU Online, all sorts of fun stuff there. So MineCrime73.
If you want to interact with us in a more real-time fashion, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can go to our Discord, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. We mentioned it earlier in the show. Good community. A lot of people there like to talk. They'll chat during the show. If you want to enter our Winnabox contest, you have to get on our Discord to do that. And like I said, just a lot of nice folks there. They'll talk to you about whatever's on your mind. If you want to interact with the show through Twitter, we'll tweet occasionally if we're going, whenever we go live, maybe if something else happens, things of that nature. Look up at Plains Talker Pod on Twitter.
All right. And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I don't tweet there very often, but, follow me. I love follows. You can follow us as well on Facebook. Just look up Plains Talker Pod. Or, I'm sorry, Facebook.com/Planestalker. There's no S on the end. And like and follow that page. Don't forget, we also do a playcast on Wednesdays tonight.
Which is tonight.
Yes, we're playing Paper Commander. So I'm literally going to shut this stream down a little bit, run upstairs, and start stream back up. So tune in on all our channels Wednesdays around 7 Eastern. You can follow us there and watch us play some Paper Commander. And it's awesome.
It is awesome. Looking forward to it. And finally, if you want to contact the show through email, you can email us with suggestions for the show, comments, questions, anything you want. There's three email addresses you can use to reach us. The first email address, both of us see, it's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email one of us personally, you have something you just want to talk to one person about, you can email Will. His email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email me, the email address is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And we actually got an email into our podcast from Jonathan, our new patron. We read all of our emails, so I'll just put it out there. I just signed up as a patron at the Mythic level because I'm loving your podcast so much. Since there's already a patron named Jonathan, could y'all call me Shinjo John, which we will. That's my L5R online moniker.
L5R? Legend of the Five Rings?
Legends of the... Yeah. I don't know. Dude, John, write us back. Let us know what the hell that is, man.
I'm not that much of a geek.
Look, this is not... I didn't dye my beard white, dude. I'm legit fucking old.
Yeah, Legends of the Five Rings. I was right.
Yeah, okay. So, and so he's like, thanks, and I can't wait to hear next week's podcast. Well, I'm sorry you had to wait two extra days, but we're really glad you did. And on that note, don't forget as well, we do like iTunes reviews if you can. Download iTunes to your computer if you don't have an iPhone. Look us up there. Really, it does help bring eyes on the show. And we'd really appreciate it. But on that note, like I said, we're rushed for time. We want to go play. So we want to thank you guys for listening and hanging out with us tonight. It's been awesome. It's been great. Thank you so much for listening. Do not go away. If you're watching us online right now, we're going to start Commander Craft following right after this. We'll have a few minutes of banter here and there, and then I'll run upstairs. Also, we want to thank you guys so very much just for being part of the show and listening. If you're listening to the audio podcast, nothing will change for you. Thanks for being here. We are off next week, but we'll be back a week from Monday with all sorts of new news and information. So for Aramis Brez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for listening and reminding you to always keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye. Okay, I gotta say, that was perfectly timed and I didn't stop recording. I'm gonna keep that in.